All right, you guys can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We've been preaching a series through Romans, and Romans chapter 13 talks about that love is the fulfillment of the law. And so I want to preach a little series here on love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3 is what we're going to cover today. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy, and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for all the blessings you give us through Christ. We're appreciative for what was already brought out so well this morning, Lord, and the Lord's Supper meditation. And Father, that really any of us, if we consider every time we partake of the Lord's Supper, the tremendous love that Jesus has for us and has shown to us. Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity that we have as in our lives as Christians to really learn to love the way that you love. We're appreciative for the church, the congregation, the inner workings that we have in this family where we learn to love one another the way that you have loved us. Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity that you give us and the mission that you give us to reach out to those who are lost and to share your love with them. For us to learn, Lord, to love the way that you have loved us. I just ask that you be with me today as I preach your word, that it would be clear from the scriptures, and that each of us would be committed to and dedicated to growing, Father, in love. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Big picture. You know, we talked about this last week. I took the whole week of the message that I was going to preach and preach the introduction to it. Big picture, guys, that if, let's just think about faith and works. We can try and try and try to be like Christ. And we can try to overcome sin in our life, and we can try to conquer the flesh by means of the Spirit. But if we're trying by our own power and by our own might, if we're just trying harder, and we don't go back and increase our faith, we're never going to be able to do what God wants us to do. Works, the scripture says, is an outgrowth of our faith. Faith without works is dead. But also we know that we can't be justified by works apart from faith. Okay? Works of the law don't work, no pun intended. Works of faith is the only thing that's real. In the same way, we can talk about loving one another, loving our brethren, okay? Loving the lost. And that love, the only way we're ever going to be able to love the way that we need to love is it has to be an overflow from our love of God. Okay? If we don't love God, we can't love other people the way God wants us to, no matter how hard we try. The flip side of that is that if we say we love God and we don't love other people, we don't really love God. The two go to, they're related to each other. But our love for others has to flow from love of God. Does that make sense to everybody? So if you're having a problem loving people, I mean, please, by all means, keep working on loving people. But understand the root of that. You're going to have to go back and develop your relationship with God. Learn to love God more. That's going to overflow into our lives. That's, you know, one of the things that the scripture speaks of the new creation is faith working through love. And I personally have said, I think marriage is a great opportunity for us to see where we're really doing as new creations. Because, you know, in marriage is very, well, it's going to expose your weaknesses if you have them. It's an opportunity for, you know, the theory to actually get put into practice in a very practical way. Well, the same way we can talk about love of God and then in the body of Christ. How do we do as far as getting along? How do we do as far as building one another up that Roger talked about and that Jared talked about in their meditations today? It's a practical way of saying, where am I really at in this? So today, just talking about the title is Nothing Without Love. I want you to, I don't know how you guys are in your lives, but for me, I come back to one thing over and over again in just terms of my talking with God in my self-examination, I want my life. I want my life to count for something. Like, when it's time to die, I want to be able to just die. No regrets. Not wishing I would have done more. I want my life to count. Kevin Simpson has said many a time that I know his hope for what goes on his tombstone is what went on David's in a metaphorical sense, what the scripture said about David. He fulfilled the purpose of God in his generation. And I want to know when I die that I did what God wanted me to do in my life. This life on this earth really is so short. In the moment, sometimes it can feel long. You know, but 9,132 days, right? 25 years. And you're still a young guy. But, you know, in one sense, it's a long time. In another way, man, it was yesterday that you guys first started dating. And that's just the way time works in this life. And eternity is forever. And we only have one opportunity, one little window. And it's our time here in this life for it to count for eternity. So, I don't know about you, but I want my life to count for eternity. I come back to that. What am I going to do to ensure that my life counted for God? And I think that's relevant to these verses here of 1 Corinthians 13, the first few verses. What's the purpose of the church? Ultimately, it's to glorify God, isn't it? Scripture actually says that the manifold wisdom of God is made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. It says this was in accordance with God's eternal purpose. So the purpose of the Lord's church is to glorify God. That, again, I love what Jared said in his Lord's Supper meditation. We can think about this collectively, and that's true. But there's also an individual responsibility in that. What's my purpose? To fulfill God's purpose that He had in my life. You know, we can think about that from one aspect of it. You know, as Christ's body on earth, one of our ongoing purposes is, you know, when Jesus came to this earth, He left His place of glory. He came here to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, I think about there are certain people. I think about Nikki Marantzik sometimes and, you know, what she does. You know, she's a nurse, and some of the things that she sees and some of the gruesome situations she has to deal with and some of the people she has to deal with. Like, to be in that line of work, you do have to really care about people, or you're not going to be a good nurse, at least. You know, Nikki loves people, and that's required. Really, you have to care about people if you're going to be in that and be effective. Well, brethren, we're a part of God's search and rescue team. Jesus, He ascended to glory. He still is seeking and saving those who are lost. He still cares about the one. The one who's gone astray. How does He do that? How does He carry that out? Through us? Through His body? So I was just thinking about, you know, what in that purpose. I think it's twofold. You know, we reach out, and we have to reach out to those who are lost and help them be found. I'll just pick on Will since he's sitting in the front. I gotta say, I like this. Before this guy became a Christian, he sat in the front and paid attention. In case some of you didn't hear that, he paid attention. Hey, I liked it. It's like, he's listening to what's being said. This guy's alive. This guy's live, right? He's a good one. He's paying attention. But, you know, through the goals, and they had to reach out to find Will when he was lost. And now he's found. But the story not even close to done. He just started. Now he's in. Now he's in the happily ever after part. Which, the way we all know, the way the Lord has that work, there's some tough times and that have a happily ever after. So part of the work of the church is also then to what? It's to help perfect the saints, isn't it? And I just want to clarify, brethren, the purpose of saving sinners and perfecting saints, they are not exclusive of each other. As a matter of fact, they're totally inclusive. You can't have one without the other. Think about a church that their only purpose is to help each other get to heaven, but we don't care about people that aren't going to heaven, who aren't in the church. I love you guys all, but after a while, I want somebody that will sit in the front and pay attention. You know what I'm saying by that? Like, you can only hear me for so long, and, oh, Luke again. You know, John Hahn brings that toothpick, I think, for a reason. Prop that thing up in there in his eyeballs, right? You know, you understand what I'm saying, right? Like, they're inclusive. We need both. And then, what if we just get people dunked and then we forget about it? You're on your own. Hey, hope you make it. Well, you can dunk a whole lot of people and them not make it to heaven. That's not how... The goal is to help people make it to heaven, not to get them dunked, right? So, it goes together, and both of these require love. You know, I guess for our lives to count, guys, the first few verses of 1 Corinthians 13 says, if love isn't present, no matter what you do, no matter how hard you work, no matter how much faith you have, no matter all the, you know, however you want to term it, bust your rear end to try to make an impact on people, show them what the scripture says, without love, it doesn't count for anything. I'm going to give an example. I was 16 years old, and, 16-year-old boys, we like to have fun. We like to try stuff, don't we, Caleb Goal? Okay? Caleb and I, we know there's certain things. Anyways, hey, 16-year-old, we are, 16-year-old boy, we are going to find ways to have some excitement. Let's just leave it at that. Okay? Well, I said, I want one of the things, my buddy was a little more vocal than me. We're going to go to the mall and we're going to start preaching to people. That was exciting. Okay? But it wasn't working very good in the mall because you're not really supposed to stand up on the stuff in the middle and just start saying stuff at the top of your voice. So we had to go outside the mall. So we have to go outside the mall, and there's Bozeman's version of Lake Elmo kind of was back in the day over there by the mall. And man, we were bringing it. Okay. Do you think anybody listened to us? I don't really remember, honestly. I don't remember what I said. I do think I remember my buddy getting on a guy for drinking a beer out there. I probably didn't go over really well. Now, there's probably worse stuff we could have been doing. We could have been drinking our own beer at 16. Hey, we're out there preaching. There's worse things we could have done, but it did no good. Because there's no love. I've tried street preaching in Billings, Montana. Hey, there's things I'm willing, push myself through to try. And I just figured out something really quick. You stand in a corner and you start yelling at people. Like, the only way people can hear you is if you yell. And if you're yelling, people just have a hard time thinking you care about them. Just the way that works. So, pretty soon, okay, let's scrap this. Let's just go start talking to people on the street. That works better. But still, most of the time, people have a hard time thinking you really care about them. You're just trying to sell them something. Love has to be there, or it's meaningless. So, I think courage is good, but courage has to have love. And I'm sure that we sounded like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Where is that thing, Kevin? Oh. Do you guys like this thing? I mean, it's necessary, I think, in our body because we love the fellowship so much, right? But man, this thing gets to me. How would you like to What if we did this? What if the whole time I'm preaching up here today? So what do you guys think? I can't handle it. It drowns out everything you say. And a noisy gong or playing. Like, nobody can hear what you're actually saying. That's the way the message is of Christ if it's not delivered with love. So, I think we have to think about what our goal is. Isn't our goal to save souls? So when I sit down and talk to somebody, one of the things I pray for is like I can't make their decision for them, but Lord, help me. Help me to do this in a way that they actually listen. I want them to actually hear the truth. What they do with it is totally up to them. But I want to do it in a way that somebody knows I care about them. I think some of us, we don't talk to people about Christ. We just don't do it. And let's be honest, the reason we don't do it is we don't love people enough to do it. If you love somebody, you know, you don't have to think very hard about this, you know that person's eternity, they're either going to heaven or to hell. So if you love somebody, at some point you're going to talk about what really the only thing that's important in this life. You're going to talk about Christ. So some of us, we don't talk to people because, being honest, we don't love people enough to do that. Some of us talk to people about Christ because we know we have to. And we've heard one more message on evangelism. Seek and save the lost. You gotta go. You gotta go Bible study. You gotta go talk to somebody. And so we're gonna go do it. And we sound just like me going out to Bozeman version of Lake Elmo. You might as well get together with your fellow brethren that aren't talking to anybody about Christ. At least hang out together. Is this a loving message? Hope so. one of the things he talks about here, the gifts. Let's talk about the gift of tongues that was present in the first century church. Not present today, but in the first century church. What if you have somebody stand up, start speaking in tongues, and there's no interpreter present? And there's an outsider who comes in. What's that gonna sound like to them? Gibberish. There's a saying in the world that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that is really a true thing. You go back and you look at Luke chapter 19 verses 1 through 10 and you look at Jesus' interaction with Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus knows that Jesus cares about him. And no question about that. So, we can think about it for the lost. We can think about it, how about within the church? Do we love people until they mess up? I love you, Will, but man, the first time I catch you doing something that isn't in accordance with, you and I are going to have a sit down. Is that the way we treat people? If that's the way we treat people, guess what he's going to do? Because I hope you don't mess up, but probably going to mess up, but he's not going to want to tell anybody he messed up, that's for sure. You know what I'm saying by that? So the thing that Christ really doesn't like is something called hypocrisy, right? Where we pretend to be somebody that we're not. The church is supposed to be an environment where we love each other. Not until we mess up. We love each other and we show that when we mess up. Or maybe we love you until you don't meet my expectations. I thought Jesus said something about give expecting nothing in return. I've heard it said, and I think it's a pretty valid point, expectations destroy appreciation. We love people. We love each other in the body of Christ. And that's not conditional if you do this. There are things we need to talk about, for sure. And Jesus talks about those. Let's just actually really briefly consider that in Matthew chapter 18, what sometimes we will call church discipline. If your brother sins, What's the scripture say? Go and reprove your brother in private. If he listens to you, you've what? Won your brother. Anybody already see what point that Jesus has? Is the goal is to what? Win your brother. Oh, if he doesn't listen to you, then take one or two more with you. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact can be confirmed. What's the goal? To win your brother. Oh, and if he still doesn't listen to you, then you take it to the church. What's the goal? To win your brother. And then if he doesn't listen to the church, then you don't treat him as a brother anymore. But every step along the way, the goal is to win your brother or your sister. Does that make sense? It's love motivated. If it's any other motivated, it's not right. He says, I'm nothing without love. He says it profits me nothing. One of the things he mentions here, if I know all mysteries and all knowledge, sometimes maybe we want to wow people with our knowledge. And it is. I don't want to discount what the scripture says about knowledge. Acquire knowledge. Okay? When you're acquiring knowledge, get understanding. Like, this is good things. And when we want to share with people, like, you want to lead people to Christ, there's things you want to know. There's things you want to know to share. And we know from the book of Romans, Paul, one of the problems that the Jews have is they have a zeal for God, but it's not in accordance with knowledge. Knowledge is necessary. But knowledge apart from love, what's 1 Corinthians a few chapters earlier says, knowledge makes arrogant, or knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. It's not a direct thing, assault on knowledge. It's saying knowledge by itself apart from love. All that does is makes arrogant. Love is able to use knowledge to build somebody else up. I remember a guy told me, well, you gotta, when you Bible study with somebody, you gotta prove in that first 20 minutes you know more than they do. Guys, I think about it, I don't know. I'm just gonna put it in really simple terms. This guy, surprise, surprise, has not been very effective in winning souls for Christ. Are you surprised by that? Hey, how about the first 20 minutes, like, actually care about somebody? Like, legitimately, not faking it. I'm going to listen to you and I'm going to get my checkpoint so later on I can, you know, I'll be honest with you. There are some things, my strengths, I do not notice peripherals. Like, we go down the street and people can paint their house a different color and I have no clue. Julie would tell me, oh, you know, and she notices all that. I don't know. I do not notice things like that. So I try to, when I meet somebody, if I go into their house, I try to notice, I make a point to try to notice something about their house, but that's not my strong point, honestly. Like, you might paint it between the first time I come and the second time I come, and I, hey, your house looks nice, you know. But there's other things that I am good at, and I'm going to find things I'm good at, and I'm going to tell people I care about you. That's for all of us. If you, like, that's, like, love somebody. You don't sit down and start proving to them how much you know in the first 20 minutes. Scripture says, be quick to hear, slow to speak. Like, listen to them. Really listen to them. And care about what they're saying. I think if you just start rattling off everything you know, I mean, let's take Jared Schaefer for a second. Smart dude, right? Knows his... Sorry, Mr. Schaefer, but, you know, knows his creation evolution stuff inside and out. I like this guy. I mean, but what if Jared just goes into a situation with somebody and he just starts rattling off his creation evolution stuff? Your average person, when Jared first meets him, he just starts, like, they're going to be like, I got to go. And that's true for any of us. If we're just talking about, hey, I gotta, like, there is something about being passionate about things you care about. Other people can catch that passion a little, but it's gotta be guided by a love for that other person where you actually listen to them. I think you guys get the point here. So, I've done this. I've experienced this, guys, my own self. I'm gonna just use myself as a negative example because, one thing I've really worked hard on in my life, my natural self, my old man, doesn't like conflict. I really did not like conflict. But I've really worked hard in my life as a new creature to understand that to help people make it to heaven, I have to tell the truth. And sometimes I have to tell the truth on stuff that people really don't want to hear. So, like, to stand on what truth is. And we're going to get to that later in 1 Corinthians 13. Love doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness, it rejoices with the truth. That is true love. But I've noticed this, that in doing that, sometimes I can say stuff, I can just say whatever I think, and is not bounded by love. Understand something. The scripture talks about bridling your tongue, doesn't it? And it says, talks about this tiny thing called this tongue. Well, it just used the analogy, a whole forest can be set aflame by such a small fire. And so, just in my own life, understanding and realizing, like, I love people and I love them enough to tell them the truth. But if I just get to just telling the truth, whatever I think, in whatever circumstances I am, and is not bounded by love, one hurtful, hateful word can destroy everything that you built. That forest goes up in flames. So love always has to be what constrains us, what controls us. Does that make sense as a Christian? Like, yes, we want to tell the truth. But the scriptures would say, speak the truth in love. I think Proverbs talks about truth and kindness being bound together around your neck. Like, those two things have to go together, go hand in hand. How about faith? Faith's important. Well, and I'll just real quickly think about Jesus. Jesus, when it came to knowledge, how much did Jesus know? But you ever look at the way he interacts with people? It's like, hey, come and see. Or, how's scripture read to you? Like, you just look at his interaction with people. He cares about them. How do I help this person get from here to there? And he handles different people differently. You know why? Because he cares enough about them to understand the kind of person they are and how they're actually going to get from here to where they need to go. As parents, we know that with our kids. You might think before you have any kids, the cookie cutter. It don't work that way. Every kid's different. And if you love your kids, you figure that out and say, okay, I'm going to do what's best for this kid. Isn't it the same way if we love people? You understand people are different. And so we want to relate to people in terms of how it's going to help them make it to heaven. Faith. Hey, faith is amazing motivator, isn't it? Like Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you're going to move mountains. But faith by itself isn't enough. I just want to veer off for a second. It's going to tie in me with faith a little, but talking about knowledge and wisdom. Who's the wisest guy you think of besides Jesus? I think about Solomon. How'd Solomon do? It looks to me like from the scriptures, guys, Solomon didn't make it to heaven. All of that wisdom didn't make it to heaven. I've thought about this. What should Solomon have asked for instead of wisdom? And it's good to ask for wisdom. James tells us to. But what's something better, Solomon? I thought, well, for me, Solomon should have asked for faith. Because Solomon lacked faith. He should have asked, and I think faith would have been a good thing. You know, how about Moses? Moses was, man, talk to God face to face. And Moses wanted to see God's glory. Like, that was a great thing to ask for. But how about love? To love the way that God loves. If Solomon would have understood and practiced God's love, he would have never veered off into idolatry. He wouldn't have had more than one wife to begin with. That's the true love. God's love. So, you know, thinking about, I saw this analogy one time, I think it's good. Faith is like gasoline. And love is like air. Fuel's necessary to get work done, but it's useless without air. And if you think about it, there's certain things that require fuel, but everything requires air. Love has to be in everything that we do. And so that's why the great commandment is to love. It isn't to have faith. Scripture does talk a lot about faith, but the great commandment is to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. I thought I was going to get done early, but I'm going to hustle here. It says it profits me nothing. Obviously, if we lack love, we know our actions don't have a long-term impact on others. But it's also true, guys, they do yourself no good. Like, it profits me nothing. One of the things we talk about around here is how important it is to know who we are. And I think that's scriptural. I think it is super important. You have to know who you are in Christ. In, you know, having the right faith picture, etc. But again, that new creation is faith working through love. We talk about serving other people. But is it possible to serve people without love? Like, I don't see Mrs. Love today. I don't know where she is. But is it possible to sign up on the sign-up sheet to go pick up Mrs. Love and to do it out of duty or obligation? We know we should do this. And you know what, guys? Sometimes go work today in the field and you do it because you're supposed to do it. But long term, if you just do it because you're told to do it, that ain't going to work, is it? Like long term, but I'm saying, is it possible? Is it possible even to serve somebody else out of obligation or duty instead of love? It is. And you know what? Hey, there still can be some good things in the short term that are done for somebody else. But in the end, it profits you nothing. And in the end, it's just going to stop somewhere. That's the way this works. I'll just fast forward to what I'm trying to say. Let's go to John chapter 13. Anybody remember Captain America? First one comes out, Captain America, and you know, he's this scrawny little puny wimpy guy, but man, he's all in for trying anything. And they're trying to decide who they're going to inject with the special stuff to make him a superpower or whatever. And the final test, the grenade comes out. And Captain America, little puny guy, goes and he jumps on that grenade. And so he's the one chosen. And then you can tell something in his character, because when they do putting him in all that stuff, and he's like, even though he's in pain, like, don't stop or whatever, right? He wants to keep going. Well, I was thinking about that. What if, like, could somebody jump on a grenade out of duty or obligation? I think you still could. It's going to be much rarer. But you could do it because that's what I'm, you know, us guys, we compartmentalize. We're going to war. That grenade comes, my job to jump on it. Like, you could do it out of duty or obligation. But in the spiritual realm, let's just ask this. If it's done out of obligation versus if it's done out of love, what are the difference in the long-term impacts of that? Hey, one, it stops right there. Love is contagious. Love is something that's spread to others, and it goes on from person to person and from generation to generation. You look at the curse of the Old Testament, where God's going to visit the iniquities of the fathers in the third and fourth generations to those who hate Him, but His loving kindness goes to thousands. And in one place, it's to the thousandth generation to those who love Him. It's God's loving kindness. It continues to go on from person to person and generation to generation. Look at John chapter 13. We know verses 2 through 4, during supper, devil already having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself about. Jesus had great faith, didn't he? In verse 3, it tells us where Jesus' mindset is at. He's able to turn around, he's able to serve the apostles, wash their feet, because he knows he's come forth from God and he's going back to God. Jesus had the right faith picture. His mind is set. He knows where he's going, and that's going to empower him to get through these really rough hours that are coming. But that's not all the story. Go back to verse 1. Before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Yes, Jesus had the right faith picture. Yes, Jesus' mind was set on through the finish line. He knew he was going back to the throne. He knew he was going back to God and to be in His presence. And I think his love for God is also in there. But it was his love for those that were here in this world. That was the motivation that empowered him to be able to serve them the way that they needed to be served. And ultimately, they got him through the cross. Jared hit on this. I'm just gonna close it with this, guys. Love is contagious. We love. Why? Because God first loved us. Others are gonna love because they see the love of God in us. Doesn't Jesus say, "By this all men will know that you're my disciples? By your love for one another." It shows up in our families, doesn't it? Aren't you thankful in Christ? You have a happy family? There's love that's there. I just think about my family's backgrounds and wow, I'm thankful for Christ. We actually have love in our family because of what Christ has done. It shows up in a congregation, doesn't it? We have love in this congregation because of what Christ has done for us. We love one another. And we can keep growing in that, in our families and in our congregation. It shows up in our interaction with the lost. We aren't just trying to sell you something or get you to come to our church. Oh man, this restaurant's the best one in town. No, we care about your soul. We legitimately, honest, and I'm just going to say this, guys. You got to start somewhere, okay? So start wherever you are. Please start and talk to people and care enough about them to push yourself through their, you know, your own, some of your own fears and your own lack of confidence. I mean, you just got to, all of us got to push through those things. But in the long run, I'll just say this. You can't fake loving somebody for very long. Like at some point, people are going to know you're either sincere or you're trying to do something for your own end. Let's just put it that way. True love is going to show up in how we treat other people. There's some practical things. Rest of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, things love does. And I like some of those practical things, and that's where we're going. I guess I just want to encourage you. Examine your own self in terms of your life in Christ. What are you motivated by? You motivated by fear? You motivated by duty? Responsibility? Have to? Or are you motivated by love? Love's the ultimate motivator, and it's something that, brethren, we have, along the way, it's something we need to learn from God, or we'll quit. At some point, nothing else, look at Solomon, at some point, nothing else will get us to where we need to go. So ask God for love, and let's start doing it. Okay? Let's stand. Maybe I shouldn't say start doing it. Let's keep doing it and getting better at it. How's that? Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for the great love that you have for us, the demonstration of your love, certainly through the cross and through the offering that you presented in the true Holy of Holies. The fact, Father, that you continue to live and make intercession on our behalf. Father, I can just say from the time that I've become a Christian till now, the multiple times, in various ways, Lord, that you have rescued me and saved me and continued to lead me, Father, in the paths of righteousness. I just thank you for your love that really there is, well, there's no depth to it. And we're thankful to get to experience that, Father, as your children. I ask, Lord, that we would look to you and continue to grow in our relationship with you so that your love would be manifest in our lives and our dealings with others. We're excited about the opportunities that you do give us, Lord. We're excited about people that you put in our lives. And we're excited to love them the way that you love us and to share the love of Christ with them. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.